So this is our third item on the agenda, the last building project. This is 4824 Edgemoor Lane. This is the third visit. I think the last time we talked about focusing on, there were a couple of particular issues. I think the sort of design of the curve and then the southern facade and the transition around the corner. So for everybody here, I'll remind you that this is being recorded. The applicant will provide their presentation, and the panel will discuss the design issues, and then if we have time at the end, we have opportunity for public comment. I would ask that if, so a number of folks provided comments last time, if they're the same comments, and nothing's, you know, I would try to focus on what's different this time, just sort of in the interest of everybody's time. But with that, I will turn it over to the team, and it's all yours.
All right, so Rob, thanks for meeting with us again. Based on our last meeting, yes, we all discussed the design of the front as well as of the south facade. There was some impartial, or it seemed we were all impartial to the nature of the grid on the front of the facade. So we've heard those comments and have responded to them. So we can run through the project again. So we are still located 600 feet from the metro on the corner of Edgemoor and Woodmont on a quadrangular site. Woodmont's a one-way street, which follows down, so generally from a vehicular standpoint, see the building from the north, but pedestrians will be seeing it as they walk from the metro towards the Arlington North neighborhood to the west. And our massing, so we are just under 120 feet, which is our height limit here, as well as to the south, and then across Woodmont, we start to get a little bit higher, as well as across Edgemoor, and we start to look at 150, 190 foot height limits. So moving down to our site plan, which has stayed similar, except for the adjustments that we're making, which we can get into on the south facade. The parking is maintained approximately 62 spaces right now, so not exactly one-to-one due to proximity to the metro. And the ground floor has also stayed the same. Second floor. So the typical floor is moving up. Now we have started to pull out this area. So we've removed that corner, which will provide more sight lines, more light and air into the area between the two buildings. So Chase and I are moving to the south in our project to the north, which reduces this 05 unit from a two bed into a one bed. Start to talk about this as well from the east is we heard that the grid was kind of take or leave it, wasn't really doing anything or taking anything away from the project. So what we decided to do was rather than completely take it away and have a one note building, you turn it into just a planar element that still has subtle rings and double height openings as we move up. But now it doesn't have just a applique in the grid for the sake of the grid. And on the south facade, what we've done now is we've pulled away, carved away the corner here so that we can allow more light in the air and so that we can have more vertical breaks in that facade rather than just a single continuous wall. And on the west, we've maintained a grid with different brick patterns and textures, all still brick everywhere. Start to look at some of the massings as well. So this has been a little bit simplified, and now you start to see a little bit of a pullback there in the corner to allow more more light into the area, as well as to actually reduce the reading of the building from the street. So especially if we look at, oops, so from here, now it's starting to diminish the perceived distance, or it's starting to increase the perceived distance from this building to the building to the south, as well as provide actual additional distance. Not just perceived. And then from the other corner, this also makes the southern facade appear to be a little bit more slender. Guidelines. Here we have an activated facade on the ground plane, which will activate the street and make it more inviting than the current conditions, as well as improved sidewalks.
And change over the entrance.
Yes, and we've also heard, based on the comments, that this white mass floating over the opening here at the front entrance, we have brought those piers down so that it appears structurally sound. The build two lines, which we're leaving about 15 to 20 feet on wood line.
You're showing this.
Same line at 417 feet. So again, we're activating the ground plane. We're stepping back to a certain extent to provide planting and a little bit of relief for people as they walk by from the metro to the Chase condominium or to Arlington North to the west. The townhouses. And we've got balconies starting at the second floor, which will create more eyes on the street. So in terms of the base and the articulation of that, we have a continuous 25-foot base that wraps around the entire building with heavier masonry to ground the building, and then a taller plane that sticks up to start to connect to the urban high-rise core of Bethesda. Again, we're still 29 feet, but we've upgraded that in the corner to 34.5 feet, which will allow for more light in, as well as more views for the units on the west and the Chase out to Woodmont Avenue. And then this is showing what would happen if we did all of the recommended setbacks, which again, serious reduction in square footage. And amassing of that. So we're looking to meet, or with alternate methods rather than actually making all of these setbacks, where we'll provide double height relief, or double height reading, so that it diminishes the scale of the building, as well as adds additional texture and modulates the units of the building. And we have more vertical plane changes as well now, so that it doesn't appear to be one continuous space wrapping around.
And do you want to address just the changes briefly on the west side?
Yeah,
we can do that. That's fine.
Yeah. So on the west side, again, we removed the grid because initially it had been acting as a sort of sandwich to hold all the masses in place, but now it had become extrinsic to the design, so we removed that and simplified this facade as well, which will be articulated with different readings of the grid. So we did provide an alternate massing option as well. If this, with the single corner reading, was not quite sufficient, which we can run through that as well now. So for the alternate massing option, the ground plane stays the same, as well as the parking. And here, instead, we keep levels 3 through 7 as the full floor plate, and then moving up on the 8th floor, we pull back the corner, so we carve that away. And then on the 8th through 10th floor, we pull back the corner. And then on the 11th and 12th floor, we further pull that back to allow for even more lighting there. And house plan, roof plan. So there's a slight change here in this ordering elevation where you can see that this is brought up to just under 70 feet, which complies with the Woodmont Avenue base requirements of 35 to 70 feet. So we start to add that horizontal line, or at least the reading of it now can continue along there. and then this is the south elevation where we can start to have that reading of the 70-foot height, and then we break it down again with more horizontals further up. And the west elevation would be the same as the other option. So those are the two alternate schemes that we have proposed for the southern facade, which, as we left our last meeting, seemed to be the primary concern. So we attempted to add more light and air, as well as more relief for the Chase condominium to the south.
And to break up the facade.
And to break up the facade, yeah, so that it wasn't a single continuous giant wall.
Do you have a preference?
Yes. The one we started with. There it is.
This your preference?
Yes.
It's just given that we're dealing with structural steel, this is just an easier type of project to do with allocated structural steel. They both have overall the same amount of relief, but it just depends on how do you want to go about it, you know, and where, and to, you know, and how to break up that whole facade that you guys didn't want to have as one big brick wall effect.
Well, I think you improved the architecture. I think you simplified it. I still have significant reservations about lack of building separation on the southern side. You know, the intent really is to create 45 feet. And there is 30 feet there right now, but looking at this and looking at the guidelines and how few things in the guidelines have really been met, somehow I think it's got to be more effort put into the issue of the power tower separation on the south side.
I mean, I suspect I agree with Rod in terms of the separation is still an issue, but of the two options, there's probably gives more people the benefit of a narrower facade and a view out than the stepping one. So I would concur with that, but I suspect there's still an issue.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and again, maybe from us in the district, we're coming from, you know, more urbanized area, which Bethesda's trying to become. You know, I'm putting up a hotel with a 10-foot separation. You know, we have a, when we do courtyard separations, those are 20 feet. So here we are doing 29.5 to, 35 feet. So we're seeing that, you know, three times bigger than a urbanized separation and 50% larger than a courtyard separation. A urbanized courtyard. So, given you're 600 feet from a metro,
I recognize in downtown Washington this is done all the time.
Right.
But the design guidelines were set up to encourage a certain topology that is not downtown Washington, that really creates a topology that's really unique to Bethesda, and that's what the guidelines are really all about. Yes, building separations in downtown Washington and many cities around the world, it's much narrower than this. But that's not what the guidelines were designed to encourage.
I agree with that. I would note, though, that this property, when it was rezoned, it was clear that it was going to be developed on its own because it was surrounded, given what was surrounding it on both sides. And there was a deliberate effort by the council to rezone it from the single-family home that it is to multifamily CR. And given its size, and the design guidelines also recognize that there is the ability for some relief when you have small sites. So I think we recognize there needs to be some relaxation on our part, but we're hoping that there's also relaxation on the side of park and planning so that we can do build something here that's feasible.
Were you involved in the discussion of the rezoning of this property during the
session? Not on this one. I actually represented a couple others of those randomly placed R60 sites, not this one.
Because I mean, I guess where I'm coming, this is not what you, probably what you want to hear, but so the zone on this property has a 120-foot height limit, and you're at 120 feet. I mean, if there's a way to go higher, you could still achieve the same density. I mean, it would affect construction costs for sure, but you could get the same density but go higher, and I think it could make the project work. But the process to do that would be what, a rezoning?
Yes, it would be a floating zone. And I agree with you, quite honestly. I represented the people across the street, and we were able to get 150. Why this wasn't 150, I have no idea.
And that's why I was asking if you were involved in that discussion.
I know I was.
Why was it 120? That doesn't make sense for with the separation.
Hilsa, do you know why this? I mean, because I know when you and I started, we always said it had to be 120 and not, you know, we couldn't do it.
I wasn't involved in the I was doing other things during the sector plan. Robert, do you recall?
There wasn't much discussion on these sites until probably right before this went up to council. And there's not a really good reason. I mean, I think we were trying to tell the board and the council that they're right across from the metro. They probably should be taller, but I think the size of the site dictated a different discussion.
Right. And that would also cause a different issue with the Chase, because that we're now at the same height as the Chase.
Yeah.
They would be concerned that we're now taller than the Chase.
Right across from the metro.
I don't disagree.
See, what you're saying is if you go taller, you get a smaller footprint.
Yes. And have meet that 45 foot tower separation.
Well, you could meet
it. But 35 or 40. It does affect some of the efficiencies.
Yeah.
Because the smaller the building, since I still have to provide two elevators, two staircases, the smaller the building, the efficiencies go down. But I understand your point, and that was one of my first points. Maybe a year ago, I mean, I'm trying to remember how long it was.
I mean, the zoning's, you know, the zoning. I mean, you can, I think for MPDUs, you can get additional height for MPDUs.
Right.
I'm not sure that that's, so I think that option is available to you.
But that implies more density.
That's more density.
Well, but you, if, but it's all if you can go, if you can go higher, right. So that, I mean, from a height and density, they could go higher and they could, you know, reduce the footprint and essentially do what Damon's suggesting. Smaller footprint going taller, but to do that they would have to provide more.
And that would be other...
But can they? Can they go to a smaller footprint?
But they could also
and if they can go to a smaller footprint, why don't you?
Because I don't have the height and I don't have the efficiency.
Without going to MPD, without going to more MPDUs.
Well, you could also do it through rezoning without having to increase the MPDUs. I just don't know if that's a process.
Oh, sure.
That
I mean,
you would
right. I mean,
out.
That adds
we
another 6 months. Excuse me?
We just finished the second plan. I seriously doubt we would want to open up a new zoning case.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up to you to do.
Process. I love process.
Yeah. She likes process more than we do.
Construction cost issues as well that you'd have to.
Oh, the core is the efficiencies get thrown off.
Yeah.
And there other than the other than the other neighborhood.
Plus, it's construction type.
Mm-hmm.
It would change the construction type because we're now kind of at the level. We're with one level, one floor of the extent we can do it like H2.
Mm-hmm.
So we had two levels on that meant different construction type. Yeah.
So I'll jump into the silence. So we are at sketch plan, what I hear from the panel is that the tower separation is the issue. At sketch plan, the panel makes a recommendation, you know, often with, typically with conditions that, you know, the project is on course to meet the minimum design excellence points, but for A, B, C, D. You know, the panel could say, we think they're on course, but they need to increase the tower setback. The panel could decide to add a number or not add a number, or the panel could decide that, you know, I mean, at this point they've come back for the third time, and I mean, I feel like the panel's saying the same things. So I'm suggesting that perhaps that is a way forward. Alternatively, of course, the panel could decide to vote that they don't think they are on course, and that's the panel's recommendation. It's a recommendation to staff. Staff, you know, I would still take the application forward to the planning board with the DAP's recommendation, really, in any event. But what's our schedule for this one?
The 2nd of April is the hearing.
So, I mean, we're kind of, you know, I think this is sort of the last piece that for sketch plan that, you know, that staff needs to sort of carry this forward. So,
you know, maybe I'm stating the obvious, and I probably am.
Go for it.
But if you look at the setback diagram of the massing, to meet the that's fine too. Either way.
Do the other one.
To meet the I think to meet the intent of the guidelines, I don't think that on a site like this we would be suggesting that you need tower separation on the two facing, you know, the two sides that face other sites.
Right.
But I do think you probably need it on one. I mean, I think that's kind of the consensus we have here. And I also think that because of the height and, again, the uniqueness of the site, you probably, I don't think that we are suggesting that you have to also meet the setbacks from the street. Because I think at 120 feet, it's a different story than a 200-foot tower. Which, by the way, if you're going to add height to add density, I think that then does come into play a little bit.
Point.
So, you know, the problem here is the one tower setback for the tower separation on one of the two sides. And obviously we're focusing on the south because there's a building right there. So, you know, how do you resolve that? Because I think if it's hard to vote for this and suggest that it's not meeting it, but it's not meeting the guidelines.
So if I could add just a twist to it. So your tower separation on the south side in the diagram is indicated as 22.5 feet, mm-hmm. which is what the guidelines call for. But you do have 30 feet from the property line to the other building face.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, I could live with a tower separation there where you take 10 feet out, not the 22.5 feet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it would be the 45 feet from building face to building
yeah.
face.
Yes.
What's the setback of the corner right now?
The setback on the corner is 5.5 by 16.5.
This just in.
Is there the ability, because there's also the desire of not a flat wall, to take what Ron said in under advise, take that, but
articulate it, maybe.
Articulate it, model it in a different way so you get variations?
Yeah, apropos what we were just talking about with the previous project in terms of cutting back at the south east corner and as well as the southwest corner. So you're doing that.
Because that's reducing.
They weren't here. They didn't.
Wait, you're doing what?
Instead of a straight
instead
wall.
Instead of a straight wall.
A chevron
on the south, a chevron wall.
Okay. Where it might get closer in the middle.
Yeah.
But farther apart.
Yeah, you keep it 30 feet at the middle, but you go over to, you know, 35, 40 feet over on the left and 35, 40 feet over on the right. So you get this sort of splayed view from, you know, the...
Yeah, because taking 10 feet out reduces the building by 20%, and that's just going to kill efficiency. So, a straight 10-foot setback on a lot that is 100 feet, on a building that's, you know, less than 100 feet and not even square. is going to, as I said, it's going to cut back 20% on everything, so that's going to...
But I think it's important to point out that that's not the panel's problem to solve. And
okay.
So that's really the planning board's problem to solve
okay.
with staff's recommendation. So, I mean, my suggestion is that the panel votes its conscience and say, this is the right answer from our design expertise, and, you know, staff will present it to the planning board, and then the planning board decides what they want to do.
And mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean, that's
my comment also is above the base.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
yeah.
above
so,
the base.
So am I.
Yeah,
so
yeah, which I understand. That does help.
Yeah.
Yes. Because otherwise...
It's not going to be 20%.
Otherwise,
yeah.
the parking garage kills me. I mean, right. I mean, that affects the parking garage and everything else.
And the tower separation is above the base, not necessarily all the way to the ground.
Yes.
Right.
I'm
okay.
sure that I'm sure the neighbors would love it all the way to the ground, but it's hard to enforce.
And
that.
Are we talking about this whole... 40 to 75 foot base?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
above the 70 foot base. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that I think there's two components. The architectural design aspect of this, I think the building has come along very well,
right,
and
yeah.
I'm very comfortable with it
yeah.
in terms of the design review aspect
mm-hmm.
of the aesthetics of the building. I think it's certainly achievable and approvable now. But the setback, as was just pointed out, is really the planning board's issue.
Yeah.
And I think we can note that architecturally we're very comfortable with it. We are concerned still about an interpretation of the setback. And we might even mention the fact that perhaps setting it back above the 70-foot base, another 10 feet or something like that, probably would be one answer. But again, I'm not sure this panel needs to answer that question.
Right.
Am I wrong?
Well, I mean,
at
sketch plan, you provide direction. I mean, depending on where the planning board goes with it, I mean, they'd be back at site plan with sort of a development on wherever the planning board decided to go.
Right. I mean, obviously, it would be better if you could see yourself to doing a more setback before you go to the planning board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think the design... The elevational designs are nice.
Sure.
One question I have is, you know, those second floor balconies, how high are those going to be above grade?
Those are going to be about 15 feet above grade.
I'm not as accepting of those as an element necessary for eyes on the street. You know, if that's the pure reason, I'm not... I think that the two-story base that you have in the elevation is a strong element of the design. I'm not sure. The balconies, I think, almost conflict with it a little bit.
Okay. Well, that's fairly low, 15
yeah.
feet.
Yeah.
How about the balconies above that?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just that 15 to 20 feet.
Got it.
Is,
yep.
All right, that's fine.
20 feet's really minimal.
Yeah.
One point on the balconies, and I raised this on several rounds of review and comments. It's in the public right of way in the county, and you won't be able to have those projections as far as my understanding of the building code.
Actually, so our civil looked at that, and he assures me that you can.
But there's a ratio on how high you have to be.
Yeah, it's 1:1 up to 12 feet.
Did you get a confirmation from DPS?
He has on another case. I will.
I would
get
written confirmation on DPS for this.
It varies. Sometimes the state will allow it, but I haven't seen the county allow it. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do we want to hear from, there were a couple of folks who indicated, a couple of members of the public who indicated they wanted to provide some thoughts. Do we want to, does the panel want to hear from them before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we, I have Richard and Nancy
Havlick.
I'm sorry. Please.
Okay. Do you want to sit here? No.
Okay.
So I'm just going to be brief. So we moved to Bethesda because we believed in high density development around metro stops. I like it. I mean, I believe in it. But this building is absurd. It's the tallest building on the smallest lot in Bethesda. And it just doesn't make sense. Visually what is going to be done.
And even though you have all these machinations about this 12-story wall, it's still a 12-story wall. It's going to look silly. I think it's not going to look right. But more important, the violation to the lifestyle and quality of life for all of those people with apartments on the north face of the Chase is really intolerable. Their balconies are part of their apartment, and it's where they live their lives, and that's going to be gone for them. So please don't approve this building to move forward. It's really, all the machinations about changing this and that, it's still a 12-story building on the smallest lot in Bethesda. And even with the zoning approvals that has been going on to do this, this is carrying it to the absurd. Please don't approve it to move forward.
Thank you. And then we have Ms. Dash.
Well, I want to echo that sentiment. We request the panel not approve it today. Ask for another submission. I think it's important to get the design right and acceptable as opposed to the time frame from an April meeting. It can always be a later meeting. There's no urgency. There's already two ongoing projects on Edgemoor. So the later this one would get started would actually be a benefit to the road and the community. Again, the fact that it's across from the metro sounds good, but it's going to create log jams for everybody else in Bethesda who needs to get to the metro that drives there, works there, etc. Again, being right on the property line, even if in part, I don't know how the future Edgemoor condo residents are going to be able to redress the inevitable grimy windows and the mold and mildew that's going to, moss that's going to collect here because it's not going to get very much sunlight. The Chase is going to block the light. So I don't see how they can really clean on that side of the building in future. So we're going to have more confrontations down the road between Chase. They're going to trespass on us. How are they going to clean that side of the building? But we are all agreed that we're talking about the south side is problematic. And there was one additional point we made in our letter that's new that I want to mention before I finish, and that's relates to the foundation. So the Edgemoor building is going to be approximately 17 and a half feet lower than the Chase's foundation, but only 8 feet away. We believe this will require sheathing and shoring, which will push the Edgemoor building back from the property line. And we're talking about the southern property line, and we think this should be reflected in the plans. Our letter explains the difficulty should the Chase have to be underpinned as there are electrical transformers between the two buildings. So this is the adjacent, so we have the transformers in there. So for this reason, we also contend the development should not be granted the exemption to use the party wall here, and they should be required to have greater separation between the towers. And again, there's really a mismatch between the developer's vision of this density overload and the lot size. And we asked the panel to require one more submission. They've already made some attempt to do that here, which we applaud and we appreciate. And we don't know at what point is they can cut back even further and still have a viable building. They have not shared that with us, so the panel could ask for one more plan and delay the subsequent meetings, and nobody would be harmed. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question? You said 8 feet. Can you explain what, do you understand that dimension?
To the garage, do you mean?
Yeah, the garage. It's not the building, it's not the Chase building.
Goes way out beyond
the building. Oh, below grade. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're talking about the foundation.
You're
talking about
okay.
The foundation of the garage, but not of any of the unit apartment units.
You're talking about,
that's correct.
Okay. Those are the only two folks I had. Thank you. Those are the only two folks I had signed up to speak. So, panel, you have several options. You can because we're at a sit sketch, you can vote that the project is on course to meet the minimum required points, period. It's on target to meet the minimum if it does A, B, C, D. It's not on target. We want to see it again. I mean, I think at sketch plan, sketch plan is really about massing and character, and I feel like there's sort of a decision point on the massing. I feel like the panel's fairly comfortable with the character, and I might suggest that the board may want to make that. I mean, the board will make the call anyway, but so those are the four options in front of the panel, unless there are others that I'm missing. What's the sense of the panel?
The sense of the panel is the tower setback is an issue on the south side, and there needs to be a greater effort of trying to comply with that.
Do we want to set up, so the guidelines talk about the, Rod, as you correctly pointed out, the separation between the buildings. So not necessarily, you know, 22 and a half feet from the, the property line, but between the buildings. You point out there's already sort of 30 feet there.
In this case, it's highly unlikely that the chase is ever going to come down, right?
Right.
So
right.
You're going to get the 45 foot separation that the guidelines are looking for. If you move the wall, the southern wall, back in 10 feet.
We only get 40.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't do the math right, did I?
Yeah.
See,
just a math
don't trust me in doing that.
No, but, you must be an architect.
But it's the spirit of it. And it seems to me that there are ways to achieve the light and air that's being required. I can
imagine, you're modeling it right here.
Yeah, I'm modeling it right here where there's a way to, you know, keep a certain distance here, but open it up that direction and open up in that direction that might, you know, allow.
Well, you know, I agree with you.
You're talking about similar to the previous project that we just heard.
Similar to the previous problem.
And does the applicant understand?
No. What was the project?
I will confer with Mr. Harris.
Yeah.
Office is two doors down from me.
And what's the address of that project?
It's the
7340 Wisconsin Avenue.
Is there a blank sheet somewhere?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the tower before the tower separation here. This is what they're suggesting is potentially that to get the average of the 45, you know, there is a pinch point potentially at 30 and then 60 and 45, and so that on average you get the tower separation, but you're opening it up on the two sides significantly.
The distinction here is that both buildings
above the
are
base.
Being developed at the same
this
time.
This is not all the way to the ground.
It's a little bit different here, but I think the concept
okay.
is
all right.
The
same. Yeah, yeah.
It's above the base.
All right, so it's looking, yeah, okay.
It's a tower.
All right.
Does this help any?
Yeah, exactly. That does help, yeah.
I mean, it's a way to maintain some of the density.
Yeah, we have to look at, we have to look at because it will obviously change all the floor plans inside, but we'll have to look at it.
But it's gonna address a lot of issues from their standpoint.
Okay, all right.
In my opinion, they may not agree, but.
And it doesn't have to be at the midway point. I mean,
it can be anywhere.
It can be out, you know, here, et cetera.
Yeah, probably be better.
We're beginning to see that parallel walls and a narrow opening are not necessarily the best answer.
Right? Yeah.
That if you can splay them a little bit and open up the view angle and still maintain, get closer to certain and farther others, it adds a more interesting
can I keep this?
Contact.
Sure.
Maybe we can
put
a link on the website.
You know.
So is that a condition from the panel to explore?
Yeah.
It's a good way to do it. So explore methods to increase tower step back above
the base.
And we're identifying the base as 70 feet. So we're going to say above 70 feet. Do we want to say a minimum and an average? I heard discussion of an average of 45. I heard a minimum of 40. Or do we want
a minimum of 40? I don't know.
Huh?
40. I think 40.
Minimum, if you do display, a minimum of 30, but.
Yeah. Minimum of 30.
Average. All right, let's
let
me put more. Average of 40 feet.
Yeah. Average of 40 when you.
Whatever you want to say,
that.
45.
Average of 45.
Okay.
I mean, do we want to even put a number on it and just have them look at it?
I think putting a number on it just provides clearer direction so that you don't come back with, you know, 32 feet. It's very clear that it's something more significant. I think that.
Perhaps the way to word it is explore options to increase the distance. Ideally, an average of 45 feet would be an objective.
Yeah.
Minimum of 30, average of 45.
Right. But I'm now concerned.
Average of 45 is 15 foot back the entire
distance. I'm concerned about the 70 foot base. That means only 50 foot tower. That doesn't work for me.
Can you go back to the perspective that shows the south facade?
Yeah, I'm concerned about it. I don't want a 70 foot base.
Okay, so let's
base lower.
So, I mean, right now the base is two stories. So that's 25 feet.
Right. And then your other option had the base.
Why don't you go back up to the option two?
Option two.
And that was 65 feet.
See, that's not a base.
Just,
your pants are really high.
So 35 feet?
You don't have a lot of shirt or trunk. You know, your tower is no longer a tower on top of a base.
Yeah, they're so essentially equal.
Yeah.
Not equal. What are you?
Well,
70
essentially
and 50.
Yeah.
70
it's
and 50
equal.
Aren't equal.
No, it's 6 floors. It's half.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that wasn't 70. You know, I'd feel a lot more comfortable if the base is 40 max, because then you at least have an 80-foot tower that feels like a tower above it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good point.
Yeah. So 4 stories.
Yeah, 3 to 4 stories.
Yeah.
It's like 6 4 stories.
Okay. So.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because otherwise.
So the condition is to explore methods to increase tower step back above 4 stories, minimum of 30 feet, and an average
of 40 feet.
We can say approaching 45 feet.
Well, I feel comfortable with 40 feet. 45, I think.
We say maximum 45.
Yeah.
With the splay go out.
So average 40, minimum 30.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I would just say keep it loose.
Well, I mean, you're an advisory panel, so I mean, these are, you know, and this is something that is certainly going to be discussed at the board, and the planning board's condition will have numbers in it, and whether it's 5 feet one way or the other, I think this is advisory enough, and I think we can write the sketch plan conditions to provide flexibility at time of site plan.
Yeah, we're advising about architecture, and it's zoned for 120 feet, and so we're not getting involved with whether this is zoned too high, et cetera, relative to the neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about how to make this a good building, an appropriate building in this site relative to the metro station, and we support, you know, the density, frankly. And so consequently, it's up to you guys as architects and developers to make a building that, you know, kind of works with your neighbors, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's have a vote then. So we'll vote to say that the project is on course to meet the minimum design excellence points, provided the condition about tower separation.
And the minimum points are 10?
The minimum's 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So do we have, raise your hand. 1, 2, okay, so that's everybody. Okay, so we'll go with that. We will write these up and provide them to you, and we'll see you all in April.
So they're not coming back, right?
No.
They would come back at site plan.
Okay.
So they would.
They've got to get through this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care.